please enjoy this previously recorded segment.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is the one and only Chris Simcar, franchise consultant for FranChoice. Chris, welcome back to the show.
David, it's really great to be back. You know I always enjoy this.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And you always provide great information to our listeners. You know, a lot of listeners out there, as they're looking at their at the economy, it's getting better. Some of them are looking at their, you know, their 401ks, their investments. They have some money that they're thinking about. And they're maybe in their career and saying, maybe now's the time. Right now's the time to start thinking about, should I leave my position and go into something that maybe could be a business for me? Could I do this part-time, right? Could I do it as a part-time income? There's a lot of things that the people are thinking about today because the economy is certainly different. So, you know, first, let's remind people, what exactly do you do?
So, David, the easiest way for me to describe what I do for people, I would consider myself to be an executive recruiter, but for franchise opportunities. So everyone's familiar with what an executive recruiter does. They help people who are looking for a job to find great executive level positions. They represent those companies, they go out, they do a search, and they're essentially a matchmaker between employees and companies who are looking for executives. I do exactly the same thing, David, but instead of me going out and helping individuals to find great job opportunities, what I'm doing is helping them find great business opportunities to invest in. And David, the interesting part for me is that just as there are countless different companies and countless different roles that people play within those companies, so job opportunities are bountiful, so are franchise opportunities. Every franchise has a different opportunity. They look for a different type of owner. And so the advantage that I have as a FranChoice franchise consultant is that we've gone out and we have vetted and evaluated literally, David, thousands of franchise brands, and we've narrowed down that pool to a very select group that we believe are the premier franchise brands in the country. And those are the brands that I have an opportunity to work with every day and help my candidates to be able to evaluate.
So
best part, David, just as an executive recruiter doesn't charge anything when you're going out looking for a job, my fees are completely free to the candidates that I work with. I'm compensated by the franchise companies, not by my candidates. So it gives everybody an opportunity to look at great franchising opportunities without any charge.
You know, let's remind people when we're talking about franchises, of course, people know the big names, right? McDonald's, Subway's, typically it's food, it's typically that area. But I know, and you've said it many times, but I think it's good to remind the audience, there are so many different possibilities of franchising out there today that people may not have thought about that are franchises.
Absolutely. You know, David, it's interesting. Whenever I start a conversation with someone, and I start telling them about what I do, and I tell them that I'm a franchise consultant, one of the first topics that almost always comes up is people will say to me, Chris, you mean like Dunkin' Donuts and Subway? And I'll laugh because they always present to me food-related brands because those are easily recognizable for all of us. We know those brands because we see them every day. What is always fascinating to me about the franchising world is how broad it is. And the areas of our culture that it touches that you might not initially think about. So, for example, David, think about the automotive industry, all right? Think about just new car dealerships, Ford and all of the General Motors brands and Chrysler. David, those are franchises. They're very big, very successful franchises, but those are franchises. So is Jiffy Lube, and Meineke and Amco. These are all brands that we see every day. You might not think franchise when you see them, but they are. Think about a space like healthcare, okay? Healthcare is packed with successful franchises. You could have a business like an ambulatory walk-in business like Doctors Express, or an in-home senior care business like Synergy Home Care or Home Instead. These are businesses in healthcare that are very successful franchise businesses. So I would say to you, David, franchising, yes, lots of successful food-related franchises, but there are industries that go across the board in the franchising space.
One of the things, obviously, when we talk to candidates and people that are interested in starting their own business, they look at franchises, and after they get past the point of asking about the food and everything, they start looking at costs, right? They say, okay, yeah. Well, what could that brand possibly, I couldn't possibly afford that type of money.
Sure.
But I know, as you do, that it's not as unaffordable as people think.
This is, I think, one of the hidden gems of franchising, David, is these businesses don't cost as much as you think they do, and they produce more income than you think they do. So, you know, as you start to really look at franchising, what you'll understand is that most of these brands are actually quite affordable to invest in to begin with. All right, so just to give you some round numbers, David, there are very successful, proven service-based businesses where the total investment for the business, for everything that you need, is under $100,000 total. There are very successful retail-based franchises where the total investment, store, inventory, everything, is under $200,000. Now, David, that might seem like a big number to some people in the audience, and it is. I don't want to reduce that. It's a lot of money, but what I want you to understand, banks lend very freely into the franchising world because they feel very confident with their ability to be repaid because they can go back and study the history, the track record of success with that brand. And so banks are very willing to lend money if you want to start a franchise. Think about an investment in a franchise, David, the same as when you bought your house. You and your wife went out and you did your investigation, you found a house that was in the right neighborhood, it was the right size, it was the right fit for you. And instead of taking all of your cash and pouring it all into the house, what you did was you said, listen, I'm going to put a down payment down, and then I'm going to borrow money from a bank because that allows me to buy a bigger house, more land, more space. You do exactly the same thing with a franchise. Typically in the franchising world, most banks are willing to lend 70% of the total investment. So if you're looking at a service-based business, David, where the investment is $100,000, a bank is typically willing to lend you about $70,000 of that. You're contributing only $30,000. So now you're purchasing a very large income opportunity for only $30,000 of cash. That's what makes franchising, I think, such a powerful opportunity.
You know, you said a key word, and that's the word fit. And so I know as people think about, hey, maybe I'm considering a business. And again, we're talking with Chris Sinkar, franchise consultant with Franchise. We're talking about opportunities that you may not have thought about for businesses in the franchising world. You know, when people think of fit, that's probably the biggest thing you do, right, is try to determine what would fit a person or a family or a business for that individual, correct?
Absolutely correct, David. Not every franchise is right for every person. This is, David, in a lot of ways, this is like a dating process. It's a courtship, all right? Everybody goes out looking for that perfect soulmate. They're looking around for that partner that's the right one for them. It's very much the same way, David, when you start to look for a franchise opportunity. In the United States today, David, there are about 2,500 different franchise brands. And I will be the first one to tell you that not every one of those is going to be right for you. In fact, there's only a handful that at this point in your career, with your goals and your objectives and your financials in mind, there's only a handful of those that are going to be right. So a big portion of what I do as a franchise consultant is spending time with each candidate to really understand what is their story, what are their objectives, and then being able to very closely match them to the exact franchises that are the right opportunity for them at that point in their life.
Tell me some of the criteria that an individual will have to think about when they're considering making that right fit for them.
David, this is a great question. And I, as I start to approach a new candidate, what I really try to help them focus on is what do, in an ideal world, what do they want to do every day to produce a living for their family? If they had a choice, if they had an open slate, and they could choose what they wanted to do today that would make money for their family, what would they choose? Do they want to be an outside salesperson? Do they want to be interacting with customers? Would they rather manage a team and be more operationally focused? Do they want to have a large team around them or a small team? Do they want to have a retail-based business or service? David, I will tell you that trying to get to the heart of the day-to-day tasks of what that person wants to do, that's the core of what I really focus my attention on. Because once I understand that vision of what they want to do every day, it becomes actually far easier for me to match them to the perfect opportunity for them.
You know, I know from dealing with the fact that obviously I recently purchased the Dale Carnegie franchise here in Maine, that you also have to not only have a fit, but you also have a strategy for what it is that you're really looking to do to get from the business. Talk a little bit about that, because there is strategies that are based on income. There's strategies based on family life. There's strategies based on different areas. So talk a little bit about that, because I think it's a key point that sometimes gets forgotten.
So, David, just as you shouldn't take a job without having an objective of what you're trying to get out of that. Is that a first job that you're trying to develop a skill set to then move on? Is this the last job in your career where you're trying to give back in some way? Right, you step into a job role with an objective of getting something out of it. You absolutely, positively must do the same thing in the franchising space. To me, David, that really comes down to a handful of key questions for most of the folks that I work with. It comes down to a question of how much time do they want to commit to the business at this point in their life, all right? There are some people who approach me, and when we start talking about franchising, their objective is not to create a new full-time opportunity for themselves, but instead, it's to create a secondary income or a transition plan that they can start a business now, and over the next 12 to 24 months, they can build it up to the point where it's producing income. That allows them a lot of flexibility, David. It allows them the flexibility to have a great second income, that maybe that's going to be money that pays college tuition for their children, or maybe that's money that they're going to use to travel the world. Maybe that's money that's going to supplement their retirement, but that secondary income is their objective. I have other folks who come to me who say, listen, Chris, I just got downsized from a job. I need a business where I can produce immediate income. Help me to find that type of opportunity. I have others who come to me and say, Chris, I'm just at a juncture in my career where I just want something completely different than what I've been doing. I've been a very successful finance executive or marketing executive for the last 15 or 20 years, but I just need a reset. So, David, when people come to me, I listen to that story. And everybody's story is so unique, David. You know this from the work that you do. Everybody comes to the table with goals and dreams. My objective and what I try to do is listen to that story and then help them find a business that allows them to realize that dream in a way that they might not have been able to do on their own.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar, franchise consultant from Franchoice. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Chris Sinkar, one of the HR Power Hour favorites. He's a Franchoice consultant with Franchoice. And look, if you have thought, hey, maybe I should think about a business, maybe I should think about doing something myself, maybe I'm tired of working in my day job, maybe I'm tired of doing these things, maybe I need supplemental income, talk to Chris. I'm telling you, he knows his stuff. So, Chris, again, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, David. It's great to be here. I love just sharing this information. Yeah, look, I hope it comes through, but this is really my passion, David. I want people to be able to explore business ownership because it's been so good to my family. David, you've been a business owner for a long time. It's been great for your family. I want everyone to have that opportunity to be a business owner. It's very empowering.
It absolutely is, and there's no question about it. You know, we talked about it in the first segment, kind of a recap we certainly have done from other shows of reminding people of why this is so important and why it's such an opportunity. What I'd like to do now is kind of talk about the upcoming things, the most current things that are happening in the retail space. And I know you just recently went to a Franchoice summer meeting in Nashville, and I know that that you have brought back some really great information that you were sharing. Tell us about the conference. You know, it's here in September. At this point, people have, you know, kind of the summer's over. We're now thinking about, we're back at hard at work. Tell us some of the opportunities that are out there, and then we'll break them down a little bit.
You know, David, my group at Franchoice, we get together twice a year as an organization, and we bring together all of my peer group, all of our consultants, as well as bringing together all of the franchise companies that we represent. That allows me to stay current with their businesses, understand the updates, and really have a chance to understand those businesses in a greater level of detail. The conference that I attended this past summer in July was mind-blowing. David, the power and the sophistication and the positive developments of these franchise brands that we represent is just remarkable. They have such a focus on executing their business model well. They have such a focus on identifying their customer and going after it, that it's really leading to extraordinary success for the franchise owners. And one of the interesting things to me, David, is we now are starting to see some franchise brands move into spaces that are emerging, developing new spaces, which is really exciting for us to see.
Well, let's talk about some of those emerging things that are happening.
And, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Yeah, and so one of the areas you talk a little bit about is one that I would think, and certainly we've talked about, is focused a lot on younger and millennial-based buyers. So talk a little bit about that.
So in the press, David, over the last 2-3 years, there has been an increasing amount of press coverage talking about the different work and lifestyle habits of millennial generation buyers. All right, this is a group of buyers, David, that is absolutely unique in the way that they buy things in comparison to previous generations. Okay, what's interesting is not just the uniqueness of it, but the size and sophistication of this millennial generation. So, David, in very generalized terms, what we've been finding and what the research has shown is that millennial buyers are they are absolutely looking for unique experiences when they are buying things. They're looking for customized, personalized items that fit their specific needs. So, David, think about it this way. If I had told you 20 years ago that there would be a business out there that you could walk into, and in 60 seconds you could walk up and order a cup of coffee in any way, shape, or form that you wanted, with any variety of toppings, milk product, different bases, get a breakfast sandwich and walk out the door in 60 seconds, and I was going to charge you $5 for the cup of coffee, would you have laughed at me?
Probably.
Of course. But that's Starbucks, right? Starbucks is thriving today because they've created a solution that is personalized, customized, it's experiential. And you know who wants that more than anybody else are the millennials. David, one of the areas where this change is coming to the forefront more than any other is in the fitness world. Okay? The fitness world 10, 15, 20 years ago was focused around building a large palace. And that palace was filled with sophisticated, expensive equipment. Treadmills and stair climbers and weight benches. And that was great because that group of buyers who were buying fitness 10, 15, 20 years ago, that's what they wanted. They wanted a relatively inexpensive gym where they could come in at times that were convenient for them and do their own individual workout. But they did it more or less solo. Millennials don't want to have anything to do with that, David.
No, that's true.
It's a very
that's
different
true.
Fitness experience. What a millennial buyer wants is they want a small gym. They want a boutique experience. They want to feel special when they go to that. They want to share it with other people who share that same interest and experience. And so what's happening right now in the fitness world, David, is you're finding gyms that are not 20,000 square feet, but they're 2,000 square feet, where there aren't 50 treadmills, but there's 10. And it's a group class where everyone's coming together for 1 hour to share an intense workout together, to do the same thing, and they build a camaraderie. They build kind of a shared base of experience with one another. This is what's going on in the fitness space right now.
There is no question, because I think of my nieces and nephews are in that category, and that is exactly what they're looking for. They're taking these classes, they're doing all sorts of experiential, spinning and all sorts of things that are out there, right?
And David, if you think about it, you mentioned spinning, indoor cycling is one of these spaces, kickboxing, Pilates, yoga, CrossFit, interval training. All of these are focused around one specific activity. What's very interesting, David, you'll find that there's actually a surprisingly large number of millennial buyers who have a membership to multiple clubs that are specializing on one particular item. So they might have a membership to a Pilates studio and a cycling studio.
Well, it's also gender-specific in some cases. There's a lot of focus on especially ladies getting together or women getting together.
Absolutely. Look, David, there's a lot of women that feel more comfortable working out in a women's only fitness environment. And so there's an emerging fitness brand now called Shapes, S-H-A-P-E-S, Shapes Fitness for Women. And Shapes is entirely focused around providing a workout environment that is entirely for women. They are not specific to what activity is going on in the gym because they have a cardio deck. They have a weight room. They have studios where they do yoga and Pilates and bar classes. So women can come in and join the club knowing that they can participate in a variety of activities, but the common bond is that they're sharing that experience with women of the same age, the same look, the same everything. It's a very comfortable environment for them.
When you're looking at the fitness space, there is this perception that they come on fast, it becomes the hot trend, and then it phases a little. What do you see in the industry from that perspective?
It's okay, David. So here's what I will tell you. fitness absolutely has waves of things that are the hip thing. You're absolutely right. What's very interesting and how the franchising industry has adopted to this is that because these boutique studios that might only be doing one activity, might only be doing cycling or kickboxing, because they are such small businesses, 2,000 square feet, the overhead expenses are low. They need a surprisingly small number of members to produce a very large profit. So, you know, in a kickboxing studio, you're going to be able to produce a very large income in that business, David, with only 300 members. That's a really small number of members. There are big box gyms, David, where the average number of members per studio is 15,000.
Yeah.
So being able to have a kickboxing studio with 300 members is absolutely realizable. So even if you get to a point where you don't have 500 members, but you only have 300 members, you're still producing a very large profit out of that business. So the trendiness of it, David, I will tell you, is partially mitigated by the way that the business model is set up. But the other issue that we have found is that millennial buyers are not jumping in and out of fitness. It's not something that they either choose to do or choose not to do. Instead, they are rotating. So what I mean by this, David, they might be a member today of a cycling studio, and they might cycle for the next 6 months, but then say, listen, I've ridden enough miles on a bicycle. Now I need to go hit something. And so they'll join a kickboxing studio, and they'll do that for 6 months. And then they'll do Pilates. And then they'll do yoga. Then they'll do CrossFit. And then guess what? They're going to come back to cycling again. So what you'll find is that the buyers in this group, David, they don't come and go. They simply rotate among the concepts. That's what's interesting about this business. Long-term stability, but with a rotating customer base.
We're talking with Chris Simcar, franchise consultant for FranChoice. We're talking about some amazing new opportunities out there. Chris, we've talked a little bit about what we call the millennials or the fitness side, the boutique fitness area. There's a second area that you have brought up, and we'll categorize it, if you want to say it, under the term of acquisitions.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about this, because this is a little bit different than you would say the boutique side of the business.
Absolutely. So, David, I have a lot of folks that I work with who are coming to me because they have had some career disruption. All right. They're coming to me because they're at a transition point where they've left one career path or they're contemplating leaving that, and they're looking for what's the next phase, what's that next step for them. One of the big challenges is these are often mid-career professionals where they're in their 40s, they have a family, they have a mortgage, they have tuition payments to make. And so they're often in a position where they want to develop a business very quickly that produces an executive-level income in relatively rapid fashion. All right, David, you know, because you've started up a couple of businesses in your career, having the ability to go from standing still to large income in a month or two is very, very challenging. In the franchising world, there's been a really interesting development over the past, let's call it 2 or 3 years, that what a number of franchise brands have been doing is that they have developed a model where they're bringing franchise owners into a given market, and they're saying, we will, instead of starting a new business in this market, what we're going to do is we're going to help you acquire an existing competitor in the market and rebrand that as this particular franchise. So I'll give you a great example of this, David. A great example of this is in the automotive collision business. Okay, the most successful business, in my opinion, in this space, is a franchise called Maaco, M-A-A-C-O. All right, and you've almost certainly seen a Maaco store at some point in your life. Hopefully you've never had a chance to visit one. Because what they do, David, is they do body work and paint work. If your car gets into an accident, the guys at Maaco are going to help put the body of it back together so it looks pretty and paint it so that it looks just like new. All right? What Mako has realized is that it takes time for a new franchise owner to develop out a territory. What they've started to do over the past couple of years is that if someone expresses an interest in the business, what they're going to say is, we can open up a new shop for you. That's a viable option. But another alternative is, let's go into the market and see if there's an existing body and paint shop that is ready to exit out of the business. Maybe that owner's been running it for 25 or 30 years, and they're at a retirement point. We can purchase that business, rebrand it as a Mako, which gives the owner, David, the advantage that on day one, they have a customer base, they have a group of already trained employees, and David, the biggest one of all, they already have a built-in income. It's profitable from day one. This acquisition-based model is becoming a very interesting twist on franchising because you still have all of the support structure that you receive from a traditional Mako franchise. You have all of the training. You have all of the systems. You have the buying power. You have the brand name. But now you also have the immediate cash flow. And for a lot of the folks that I work with, David, that is a really interesting twist because it now frees them up that they can make this career transition without having to sacrifice short-term income.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar, franchise consultant for FranChoice. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, a news talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we are presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. You know, one of the things we always do is talk about our sponsors. We're very proud of them and very happy to have them. Jackson Lewis Law Firm, all we do is work. Rudman Winsell, counselors at law. Sheehan Finney, Verrill Dana, attorneys at law. And certainly Strategic HR with their HR conference, their strategic conference, and of course their comp summit. And we, of course, have to thank WLOB Studios for their fantastic hosting of the HR Power Hour show. All right, we're talking with Chris Sinkar. He's the franchise consultant for FranChoice. I know you're one of them, but in my mind, Chris, you are the consultant. Okay, just so you all know.
I appreciate that, David.
That's just the way it is. And we're talking about opportunities for individuals to think about a new career, an opportunity for them to move forward with business ownership. And as Chris has said on the show many times, there are so many opportunities that you haven't even thought about, and franchising is a great way to make that happen. Chris, we were talking in the last segment about this acquisition model, this one of these new models that's happening out there. You said you had another story you wanted to tell that would really emphasize a great opportunity for someone. Take it away.
When I look at business opportunities, I tend to take a very long-term approach. I'm interested in investing in businesses that I can acquire today, and with a good strategy, building a team around me, I can develop it into something significantly larger over time. I'm not a quick hitter. I'm a singles hitter that'll eventually get me to where I want to go. One of the really interesting acquisition-based franchises model fits that perfectly. All right. So one of the brands is a brand called Martinizing Dry Cleaning. All right. Martinizing has had a great successful dry cleaning and laundry business for the last almost 40 years, David. This is a national brand. What they've realized is that that's a mature market. It's a market where, in all honesty, you're going to end up with single-digit growth going forward. What Martinizing has realized, though, is that if they strategically acquire businesses and then implement their marketing program, they are effectively able to gobble up market share from the other competitors in the marketplace. So one of the developments that we've seen over the past 2 years with Martinizing is that they've developed a very successful acquisition strategy. If you wanted to build a big business, this is a great opportunity. You step into the marketplace and you purchase an existing dry cleaning laundry facility, already operating, already has customers, employees, equipment, everything. You don't have to buy it, you don't have to set it up. So you purchase that existing location. You rebrand it as a Martinizing. That in and of itself, David, is going to give you a bump in revenue because of the recognition of the brand. But here's the interesting part. Martinizing has one of the most effective go-to-market strategies in the industry. They have what they consider to be a hub-and-spoke system of doing business. The hub is that production plant that you just acquired. The spokes that go out into the market are multifaceted channels that are intended to just draw in volume to that facility and allow you to leverage that asset and make it more profitable. Those different channels are things like having commercial drop spots, doing commercial laundry, doing home pickup and delivery, doing retail spots, doing apartment building lockers. If you're making it convenient for your customer to give you business, they'll do it. In particular, David, going back to something we talked about in an earlier segment, dry cleaning and laundry services is absolutely going to grow with the millennials over the next 5, 10, 15 years. Because, David, this is not to disparage millennials, but they don't want to do laundry. What they want is to have somebody else do that for them so that they can go out and enjoy a life experience that they actually want. They're willing to pay for that convenience. And so if you put in a locker system in their apartment complex, or if you do a drop-off and delivery service at their house, they'll take you up on it. So Martinizing has created a really successful strategy, David, that allows someone to come in and buy an existing facility, implement the marketing strategy, and grow a really large, scalable, successful business out of it.
You know, it's very interesting that what you're seeing is a repurposing of businesses
yes.
that are out there and that maybe have been built over 10, 20 years by baby boomers and maybe some Xers. And there's a lot of them ready to retire. I mean, we're talking about 10, 15,000 a day retiring. There's a lot of business owners, we deal with them, that just don't have an exit strategy. They never thought about it. Their children have no interest in the business. And that they just want to look at a way of moving forward and to have a national brand come in and make it easy for them, right? And actually have some way of negotiating, because as you know, negotiating when you really don't know what you're doing from a business buying perspective is a whole different event.
Absolutely. And this is going to be a trend for the next 15 years. There's millions of businesses that are owned and operated very successfully today by individuals that want to retire. So there's a lot of these opportunities out there, David.
The third nuance, if you want to say, that is happening out there, we've talked about, obviously, the millennial focus and acquisition focus. You talk about really being a long-term enterprising focus, right? And this has always been an interest, personally, of mine that says, wow, this is just an amazing concept when you think about it, being a master franchise opportunity.
Yeah.
Really, first explain it, because obviously I know you have in the past, but I want to make sure we recap what it is. And then talk about the nuances today of what's going on.
All right. In a traditional franchise system, so let's go back to something that all of us are knowledgeable of and comfortable with. Let's take my personal favorite of Dunkin' Donuts. All right. In the Dunkin' Donuts franchise model, there is Dunkin' Donuts corporate. They are the franchisor. They own the brand. And they are then selling a license to individuals around the country who want to operate 1, 2, 5, 10 Dunkin' Donuts locations. So it's a two-layer franchise model, franchisor, franchisee. All right. That's the typical model, and that is 95% of franchises fit that model. Now, 5% of franchises have what we call a three-tiered model. The franchisor is still there. They are still owning the brand, and they are still developing a national presence. They are then selling the development rights to a very large territory. So a very large territory might mean a whole city or a whole state. And they are selling that to an individual who is then becoming the master franchise owner for that region. That master franchise owner has the opportunity to develop out that brand within their, let's pick a state, in different ways. What many of them choose to do is that they choose to then sell licenses underneath their license to individuals who are going to operate that business on a very localized basis. So, you know, David, if we use your home in Maine, there you might purchase the master license to develop out the entire state of Maine for a business. And you may choose to develop out Portland yourself. But you may choose to sell off Augusta and Bangor and Kennebunkport to other people to develop out a business of their own under your license. Now, what's interesting, David, and where the scalability comes in with master franchising, you as the master franchise owner for the whole state of Maine, you are going to share the initial franchise fees that those local owners in Bangor and Augusta are going to pay. You're also going to share in the ongoing royalty payments that they're going to be paying every month as a result of their business. Now, the trade-off is you're going to also provide local training support to them. You're going to be present for them. When they have an issue with marketing or they have questions about operations, you're going to be on the front lines of support. So when we start looking at master franchising, David, what I will tell you, there are certain people that this works really well for. Individuals who thrive in a master franchising opportunity are people who have typically come from an executive background before, where they have been able to manage multiple different functions. They might have been a chief operating officer, a CEO, or a VP of operations in a business, where they've had to manage different departments, different functions in different locations. They're used to having a variety of tasks on their desk on a given day that they work through different things every day. Those individuals thrive in a master franchising agreement.
One of the other opportunities that seems relatively new, and maybe it's just because when I read the information, it seemed new to me, is the opportunity to have a multi-brand franchisor.
You know, there are a number of very successful franchise companies that have developed out a brand, and as that brand has matured, they've realized that their growth was slowing down. And so what they've done is they've gone back to the drawing board and they've developed a second brand out of their competencies. They've gone into an adjacent space. So a great example of this. We represent a company called Premium Franchise Brands, and that's one of those very anonymous nomenclatures, right? What Premium Franchise Brands has done very successfully over 20 years is that they are the franchisor for JanPro. And JanPro is, in my opinion, the most successful commercial cleaning company in the country. They have about 140 master franchise owners all around the United States. And they have pretty much sold out every major market in the United States. What's interesting is that as their growth was slowing down, they said, listen, we have mastered how to build out a model in commercial cleaning around setting up a master franchising model. We've done this extraordinarily well. What can we do to leverage our experiences? So they stepped back and they said, what we're going to do now is move into residential cleaning. And so they developed a completely new brand called Made Right, M-A-I-D-R-I-G-H-T, Made Right. It's still a master franchising model. They have followed very similar economics to how to build up the business, but instead of it being business customers, these are residential customers. But that brand, you're able to step into a Made Right master franchise now, knowing that your franchise company that you're partnered with has more than 20 years of experience in doing this. And it gives you just a great satisfaction knowing that you have an experienced partner that you're working with.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar, franchise consultant for Franchoice. We're talking about career opportunities you may not have thought of when it comes to business ownership. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLLB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Kelly Flagg, General Manager of the Body Architect Fitness Center in Portland, Maine. I want to personally invite you to come meet us. If you've been considering joining a gym but haven't yet because you're a little nervous or just plain old don't like the gym, come see us. We have created a 30-day personal training experience just for you. Meet our trainers, try a few workouts, and use our facility for 30 days for just $79. Call 774-2196 or visit thebodyarchitect.com today.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. We've been talking with Chris Sinkar, franchise consultant for Franchoice. We're talking about opportunities that you may not have thought of and the trends that are happening in the franchise business world. Chris, you know, with unemployment being very low, as a matter of fact, I would say in some cases we are at full employment in many, many locations.
I would agree with you, David. Yes.
A lot of people are talking about, hey, I just would like to do something on the side and make extra income. Talk a little bit about what would be the best opportunity as we wrap this up in the next few minutes.
It's been interesting. This has been a trend I've seen over the last 24 months. As the job market has continued to improve, honestly, David, people are pretty happy right now. And in the franchising world, David, we call these opportunities semi-absentee. All right? They're not absentee. They're not zero time commitment. In a semi-absentee business, David, these are businesses that the owners are spending 10 hours a week on, or 15 hours a week, not 40 or 50. These are businesses where there's a manager who operates the business every single day. The owner is providing background executive level function on a very limited time commitment every week. So industries that typically are semi-absentee operated, the easiest one to understand is hair care, okay? David, when you think about a Great Clips, a Sport Clips, a Supercuts, a Fantastic Sam's, those are businesses, David, that are not owned by the hairstylist. Those salons are almost all owned by business executives who own 3, 5, 10, 15 of those. And they operate those on a part-time basis. That is not a full-time job for the vast majority of the franchise owners in the hair care space. But, David, if you own 3 or 5 or 10 of those, you're making a mountain of money working a very limited schedule. All right. In addition to hair care, you could think about fitness. I mean, we spoke earlier about the changes in millennial buying patterns and how that's changing fitness. All of these boutique fitness businesses in kickboxing and Pilates and cycling and CrossFit, these are all businesses that are owned by a business person. They're owned by an investor who hires a manager to run that every day. And so the time commitment for those businesses is very low. The income is extraordinarily strong. Okay, two other industries that fall into this category, David. Beauty absolutely falls into this category. I mean, most of us at some point have been inside of a Massage Envy or a Massage Heights or a Hand and Stone. Those are businesses that, by and large, are absentee owned and manager run and produce well into six-figure incomes each. And, David, the last one that I'll mention to you is the shared executive office suite business. So many of us, if we have operated at all in a remote office, we might have operated out of a shared executive office space, out of a Regus-type business. That industry space is very rapidly growing. And that space is entirely absentee from the ownership perspective. There is a facility manager, a single employee who runs the business on a day-to-day basis. The owners rarely, if ever, actually set foot inside of the building. So, David, as you start thinking about alternatives to build a secondary income, I want you to realize that franchising in a number of different ways, a number of different industries, I think can fill that void for people of giving them either a secondary income stream on a part-time commitment, or it gives you a soft landing. It gives you a transition point to say, I'm going to start the business today. I'm going to operate it part-time for the next 12, 24 months. And once that cash flow is matured, now maybe I do leave my job, and maybe I only go to a part-time schedule knowing that I have the income that I need for my family.
We've been talking with Chris Sincar, franchise consultant for Franchoice. Of course, you can hear everything again at hrpowerhour.com right after the show. You can go there. You can connect with Chris directly. His email is cynkar@franchoice.com. And you can certainly connect with him by email. And again, the link will be at hrpowerhour.com right after the show. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show today.
David, it's really my pleasure, and I encourage everyone in the audience, if this has been of interest, reach out and let's have a conversation one-on-one.
And I highly encourage you to do that. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Rob Brooks of VeralDana. There's been a lot of talk in the news recently about the legality of making employees sign an agreement that says they won't join a class action lawsuit against their employer. These agreements, or class action waivers, are typically part of a document that employers make all their employees sign, which requires the employee to arbitrate all disputes the employee has with the company rather than litigate them in a court. The National Labor Relations Board, which oversees the law protecting union activity, has held that these class action waivers are illegal since they interfere with employees banding together to sue their employer for work-related concerns like overtime pay. Some courts, however, have disagreed with the board, holding that federal law encourages the use of arbitration to resolve disputes. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments during October on three cases that raised this issue, and a decision is expected this year. These cases also raise the more basic question of whether employers should use arbitration agreements, even if the Supreme Court holds that class action waivers are illegal. About 60 million employees are now subject to arbitration agreements in this country, including the vast majority of the biggest companies in the United States. Before deciding whether to require your employees to use arbitration, it's important to consider the pros and cons. On the pro side, arbitration is usually quicker and cheaper, even if the employee is able to recover all the same damages they could recover in court. Plus, arbitration is private. The public and the media don't get to know about the case. A potential negative aspect of arbitration is that an arbitrator's decision is final. There is no right to appeal. So the parties are basically stuck with the arbitrator's decision, even if the arbitrator made mistakes about the facts or the law. If you decide to use an arbitration agreement, you should be sure to check with a lawyer first to make sure that the agreement complies with the law. If you have questions, you can contact me or another member of the VeralDana Labor and Employment Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLLB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success. And stay tuned for Inside Portland with Bob Witkowski.